we rely heavily on the volunteers. Volunteers come in there and give a lot of the creature comforts. They help us make sure those bedding are changed out. We do over 30 to 40 loads of laundry a day to ensure that dogs and cats have blankets and things like that.
Yeah, I saw the – I went in there.
The
we're not talking something coming out from one of the linen services. We have – you know, you basically look at a wall. I'm talking 8 feet, 10 feet tall – towels of every type, every material of every type. You can tell you guys do everything necessary to kind of pull everything together and make it happen. And I was quite amazed at the wall of towels alone.
And those are all donated. Many of our things are donated. The washers and dryers that you saw there, we paid for those with donated funds. Taxpayer dollars do not pay for a lot of the stuff you see in there. So when people come in and say, well, I can't believe people are losing jobs and you've got these fancy beds in here and stuff. There's nothing fancy down there.
I think if somebody walks through there, I would hope and I would pray that that would not be the kind of conclusion that you got from there. Boy, when I walked through there, I definitely saw nothing but love kind of coming out from every corner, and at the same time, an impossible task because you have to be well organized to run. How many animals did you say?
Over 200 every day.
Wow. And we're not talking, you know, I must boast that I probably have 200,000 animals in my store, but most of them are fish. So life is a little bit easier.
I don't know
that I have 200,000, but I have a lot. But when we're talking dog and cats, that must be.
And not only that, we have goats, we have rabbits, we have chickens, we've called you on the alligator. We had the same alligator in twice.
Oh my.
So it's a variety of animals, but we take every animal that comes in there very seriously. Every animal to us that comes in there with a human story behind it. And it is incredible to understand those stories when they come in. And when we can finally place those animals, that's even better. I mean, that's wonderful. Or when we can humanely put them to sleep if they're suffering. And many of them come in on the brink of death and still suffering, and we can help with that.
Well, I can speak up for Lee, myself, and the entire Lansing community. Thank you very, very much. We truly appreciate it.
Jamie, let me ask you a question. You mentioned before about the back door and all of where you have to go out and collect animals. Uh-huh. Not necessarily people relinquishing to you. You talked about ignorance before, and I take that as my role here in the studio. Help me understand, when should someone contact you in order to come out? I mean, how do people know when an animal is beyond the point of just being neglected to the point of being abused?
Well, and I'm really glad you asked that, because we also have a hotline I want to give you before the show's over. A lot of the people that call us, they always begin with, I don't know if this is abuse or not. You know what? If you think it is, call us. You know, if you think it is, call us, because there's no standard right or wrong on what's going on out there. If it's a simple matter of, you know, you want them to have, you know, plush blankets and an air conditioning unit in the doghouse, well, of course, that's not going to happen. But we can at least go out there, talk to the owner about some of the issues that may deserve some education and get them on the right track. Once we go out there and we talk to them and we share with them some things they need to do to improve the situation and they don't do it, then we've got some neglect that we can probably get corrected a lot faster than had we not been able to have the opportunity to talk to them first. But we have a free doghouse program, so there's no reason to not have a doghouse. Ideally, we prefer dogs to be inside, sure, especially in the Michigan winters, but it's not the law. But the law does state that you have to have a shelter that's going to protect them from the elements. Now, that means if it's summertime, they need to be protected from the sun. Now, they can't go into a doghouse when it's 110 degrees inside there. Do they have any other shade? We're going to ask them to look at that. Dogs that are in pens with fecal matter in them, that's not going to stay that way either. But people have got to call us, be very specific with what's going on there as much as they can, and have an address. They can't just, on our hot tip line, which is, can I give that?
Oh, please.
It's 517-676-8376. And they can leave anonymous tips there. And it has been great for some of our better cases. People that normally would not call in are leaving tips there. But they've got to leave a description of the dog, the address. I'm amazed at how many people say it's the brown house on, you know, Kavanaugh Street. You know, I mean, don't do that. But many people will call also and say, well, you know, I know everyone else has already called. And often they haven't called. The neighbors are all saying they're calling, but they're not. So call if you think it's abuse or neglect, call us. But definitely if they don't have shelter for a dog, you've got to call us. If a dog is standing in, you know, standing water on a chain and can't get away from it, or the dog is constantly tangled in his chain, give us a call. I mean, the tether does have to be a certain length on the dog, but it has to be free of entanglements. For water, we suggest that, we'll make suggestions. Take a big pickle bucket, put it, dig it into the dirt if it's spilling it over with the chain. There's some very simple things that don't cost them money, and we're willing to give them a lot of things. We even have heat bowls for some people for the water that freezes.
Sure.
Because in some people, really, they're doing the best they can. They can't bring the dog in for some reason, but they're doing the best they can. We want to help those people. We want to educate
sure.
them. We want to help them. We do not want your dog at our shelter. We have too many dogs at our shelter. But if you're going to keep the dog, we want that dog to be taken care of in a humane manner, or we're going to come after you.
Well, and I would imagine that by people contacting you earlier in the process,
absolutely.
The dogs are not as far gone from a behavioral yep. standpoint or from a health standpoint. So yep. the rehabilitation process is dramatically easier and less yeah. costly.
And that way we also have on record and we can document how the dog is improved or not improved. So that's also beneficial to us as well. And I'll tell you what, we get a lot of our dog fighting tips from welfare cases. You know, those dogs are usually not kept in the best of condition and they come from welfare complaints. These people have no clue about dog fighting that are calling us. They're just saying, this poor dog is skin and bone and he's out on a chain and he's always tangled and it's raining. And it turns out that we've got some good evidence on dog fighting when we get there. So you never know what you don't know.
So in the Lansing community, is dog fighting much of an issue?
Yes, it is. It is very prevalent. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, quite a bit. And we had a conviction last year. The gentleman's in prison now for dog
Congratulations.
Fighting. Yeah. So it's, yes, it is. And we're working with the U.S. Department of Agriculture as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things are going on. But unfortunately, we seem to be quite a little hub in Lansing area.
Okay. So the general listening audience, you had mentioned that overall welfare of the types of animals that they see. Yeah. Anything else that could help us in stopping that?
Well, you know, when you see a lot of activity at a house and you see a lot of pit bulls specifically coming in and out of a house, they're constantly changing dogs. That's a sign.
Okay.
If you see dogs that are a number of dogs, you see a large number of dogs tethered in the backyard, that's a possibility. Now, we're not saying all people who have dogs on chain, pit bulls on mm-hmm. chains are dog fighters. Absolutely not. But when you put a number of things together, a lot of traffic at the house, different dogs coming in and out of the backyard frequently, mm-hmm. Dogs going away, coming back with wounds on them. And then, of course, if you see, you know, the various tools of the trade, you see treadmills out in the back garage or when the garage door is open, or you see a lot of kennels in the garage door. If you see some of the flirt poles, they call it, and that's where they've got an item. Sometimes it's a garage door spring that they use, and they'll hang it from a hallway or they'll hang it from a tree, and they'll have a rawhide on the end of it or a rubber tire.
Yeah,
and the dogs
yeah.
will hang there hang for out. Hours to build up the strength in their jaws.
Oh, my. Uh-huh.
You know, a number of things like that. They'll have cat jennies, and it's like, you know, you have a little pony that goes around and
sure.
exercises. Well, they have that for dogs, and the dogs are tethered, and they'll run and chase that for hours as an exercise program.
Oh.
So there's a lot of different signs that go with the trade, but it's a very predominant in Lansing. Happens in garages and basements. It's a lot more common than you would think, unfortunately. Oh. We get a lot of the victims of dog fighting,
Well, maybe the show, if we can even turn up one of those, that will make the show worthwhile.
That's what the hope is that as people get information mm-hmm. from the pet experts in this community, the next step is to use that information yeah. in order to do a better job with your pet as well as to do a better job in terms of watching other animals in the yeah. community. Because as you said, Jamie, it's fairly easy to identify if you know what to look for,
yeah, exactly.
but you have to know what to look for, and so few of us do. Jamie, answer this question for me, if you would. I know that animals, once they come to you, can be adopted,
mm-hmm.
and the community can help out in the way of adding a pet to their home and also relieving you of some yeah. of the burden, especially as we get into the warmer weather periods when it sounds like activity significantly picks up.
Yeah.
Tell us about your adoption program, what people would need to do, where they would need to go, what the costs are. Help people understand that.
Okay. Well, last year we adopted approximately 1,700 animals out of the shelter, and we strive to make sure that everyone is spayed or neutered before they leave, but we're not able to get them spayed or neutered fast fast enough to move them out of the shelter. About 80 to 85% are already spayed or neutered. Those that aren't, when they adopt them, they pay a deposit, and it is required by law they follow through and do the spay-neuter. And we follow up with them to make sure it's done as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the animals are vaccinated. Dogs that are 1 year and older are heartworm tested. And just to show you, the Ingham County Kennel Club actually paid for the heartworm testing of all our dogs last year. I mean, that's a pretty significant contribution to help us get
it
that
sure
done.
Is.
And that's a very responsible thing to do, is get your dog's heartworm tested. So thanks to their support, that was done last year. But dogs are heartworm tested. They're wormed. And cats are leukemia tested, Lenti tested, vaccinated, and wormed as well. And cats come with a little carrier. Dogs come with a license as well. And the adoptions that we do a lot at the shelter, but we also do mobile adoption events. We're all over the community. We're everywhere doing those mobile adoption events. Those are very successful, and they really bring a lot of awareness to our organization. That because many people, I don't know, I've been there 5 years now, and I still hear, "What, you guys have a shelter?" You know, they think that we just ride around in the trucks and pick up dogs,
right.
But they had no clue we had a shelter, much less a shelter that has an adoption program and all these other programs that we do for the community.
Jamie, can you go ahead and again repeat your hotline number so everyone knows how to reach you at the Animal Control?
It is 517-676-8376. And they can also go to our website, which is www.ingham.org, and then just click on Animal Control.
Jamie, thanks so much for coming in this morning. We really appreciate it. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.